Morning, and first I want to thank the organizers and say what an honor it is to be able to share the work from the Blazer Lab. So today I'll be talking about the role of early life microbiota in shaping body composition. So what we focus on in the lab is the intestinal microbiota, which by far has the greatest numbers of the microbiota, and the total number of microbial cells can outnumber host cells by a factor of 10. And their cumulative genes can outnumber host genes by a factor of 100. And the intestinal microbiota confers many benefits for the host, such as pathogen displacement, immune system development and barrier fortification, and vitamin production, and aiding in absorption of nutrients. But the microbiota can also contribute to disease, and so in some of the seminal studies actually done by Peter Turnbaugh in this room has shown that an altered microbiota can alter body composition. So in these studies, he took microbes from genetically obese mice that are deficient in the hormone leptin, or microbes from wild-type mice, and transferred them into germ-free animals. And the germ-free recipients that were colonized by the OBOB microbes gain more body fat in just 2 weeks. And this demonstrates that microbes can drive obesity and change body fat deposition. And since these early studies, we have learned many more details on the interactions between microbes and our metabolism. And this is a very complicated slide summarizing some of the findings in the field. And what I'd like to do is just show the commonalities between many different lines of research. So first is when you have disruption at the ileal interface, such as a low-fiber diet, you can have weakening of tight junctions, or you can have decreases in the mucus layer, or there can be, if there are changes in the immune system, like knockout of the inflammasome components, or a knockout of TLR5, which senses bacterial flagellin. When you have this disruption at the intestinal interface, you can have translocation of microbial products like LPS and other inflammatory molecules. And these can alter metabolic and inflammatory signaling, which can drive obesity, diabetes, and non-alcoholic steatohepatitis. And so we're concerned about other areas of disruption at the ileal interface and with the intestinal microbiota. And so one thing to consider is the transmission and maturation of the microbiota. So at birth, we receive the majority of our colonizing microbiota. We receive it from our mothers at birth. And as we mature, so does our microbiota. And these patterns of succession are very similar between humans and mice. And we're concerned what happens with antibiotic disruption. We can turn to the agriculture industry, and we've seen since the 1940s that if you give low-dose antibiotics to many different types of host species, you can have changes in growth. This works across many different types of antibiotics, different classes, different targets. And it does not work with antifungals. Also, these are applied at low doses, so lower than therapeutic levels. What they also know is that the earlier you start antibiotic treatment, the more profound the effects. And this also suggests that disrupting the microbiome in infancy is important. So Il-Sung Cho in the Blazer Lab started these studies. And we wanted to see, can we reproduce the models on the farm in laboratory mice, and so he gave mice at weaning low doses of penicillin, vancomycin, penicillin plus vancomycin, or chlorotetracycline. And at 10 weeks of age, he saw no differences in overall weight, but he saw significant increases in fat mass across all antibiotic regimens, and really no changes in lean mass in this experiment. And what we can conclude is, yes, we can reproduce the model in these mice, and that low-dose antibiotics are promoting fat accumulation in these animals. So next, I wanted to know, can we have a more profound effect if there's earlier exposure? And so this control mice received no antibiotics. A group received low-dose penicillin at weaning, Or a third group of mice, their mothers were put on low-dose penicillin on the last week of pregnancy, maintained on penicillin throughout the nursing period, and the mice were then weaned onto low-dose penicillin water. Then I measured their body composition at 20 weeks of age, and what I found in both male and female mice, there were significant increases in total mass, but we didn't see these changes in the mice that received antibiotics at weaning. There was little changes in lean mass. And in male mice, both groups had significant increases in fat mass, but a more profound effect if they receive the penicillin from birth. And so this gives us evidence that microbiome perturbation during the nursing period has a bigger metabolic effect. When we looked at total levels of cecal bacteria, there were no changes. Again, these are low-dose antibiotics. We're simply shifting the ecosystem, not reducing the entire microbial burden. So next, we wanted to have a more extensive model of obesity. So we wanted to look at the combined effect of high-fat diet and subtherapeutic antibiotic treatment on body composition. So as before, control received no antibiotics, and the subtherapeutic antibiotic treated group received low-dose penicillin. And at 17 weeks after they had achieved full adult weight, half of the group was switched to a high-fat diet. Now, these are DEXA scans of their body composition over a period of 30 weeks. And so, as before, control normal chow is in black, stat normal chow is in red, and so we have significant increases in total mass from the antibiotic exposure. And the arrow indicates where we introduce high-fat diet, and so, as expected, high-fat diet increases weight in both groups, but even further when we have the microbiota disruption. In male mice, there's very little changes in lean mass, and really, most of the changes we see are in the fat mass compartment. Now, female mice are a little bit different. Female C57 mice resist diet-induced obesity, and so even when we switch the females to a high-fat diet, there's no increase in total mass. It's only when we have the microbiota disruption with antibiotics plus high-fat diet we see increases in total mass. And then in fat mass, we have we do see significant elevation in the control mice on a high-fat diet, which have about 5 grams of fat mass. And when we add the low-dose penicillin, they have 10 grams of fat mass. So there's almost 100% increase in fat in the females. Next, we looked at where the fat was going by MRI. So when we measure total abdominal fat, we see that the subtherapeutic antibiotic treatment increases total abdominal fat, and it increases it in the visceral compartment and not subcutaneous. Visceral fat has been associated with metabolic syndrome, and is much more metabolically active. Next, we looked at the effect of stat and high-fat diet on fasting insulin. We see in male mice, on normal chow, stat doesn't significantly, but there's a trend of elevated fasting insulin in mice fed normal chow. And in mice fed high-fat diet, there is a significant increase in fasting insulin. We see a trend of increasing fasting insulin in female mice, but they're not significant. And this is also consistent with established models of obesity in these mice. So the next question we wanted to find out, we knew that infancy was important, but we had always been applying lifelong low-dose antibiotics. So we asked, is the adiposity phenotype durable with limited antibiotic exposure? So control mice received no antibiotics, and the 3 treatment groups either received 4 weeks, 8 weeks, or continuous lifelong antibiotics. And then at 6 weeks of age, they were switched to a high-fat diet to accentuate the metabolic phenotypes. Here are DEXA scans of their body composition up until 30 weeks of age. Control is in black, and the 3 antibiotic groups are in the colored lines. And regardless of length of exposure, there are significant increases in total mass, lean mass up until about 20 weeks, and fat mass after 20 weeks of age. And so what we can conclude is that 4 weeks is enough to have sustained effects on body composition. So we wanted to know what was going on in the microbiome. So we sequenced the V4 region of the 16S rRNA gene. We did this on the MySeq platform. And then we carried out a series of bioinformatic steps using the CHIME pipeline. So here I'm showing a principal coordinates plot. Each dot represents the microbiome of one mouse. Black dots are from mice that are not exposed to antibiotics, and the orange dots are mice all on antibiotics. And there is significant clustering of the black dots and the orange dots, and so we know that the low-dose penicillin is shifting the microbiota. We jump to 8 weeks later, and control and antibiotic exposed are still different. And now we have a third group, mice I've removed from antibiotics, and they now cluster with controls. And this is showing that the microbiome can recover in just 4 weeks. At 10 weeks of age, now we have four groups. Mice have now taken off antibiotics, received antibiotics for 8 weeks. We can see those green dots are starting to move towards control. And by 28 weeks of age, both of the groups have taken off antibiotics, have recovered, and now cluster with control microbiota. But I'd like to point out that at 30 weeks of age, even though their microbiotas are similar to control, they have elevated fat mass. And this indicates that there can be lifelong changes in body composition from early life microbiome perturbation. We looked at the changes in the microbial taxa over time. And so here I'm showing fecal microbiota from 3 weeks until 28 weeks of age. And the solid line indicates where I switched them to high-fat diet. And you can see that the control microbiota is very stable. And when I switched them onto a high-fat diet, we have a large bloom in allobaculum. And this organism is suppressed in early life in all three antibiotic groups. When I take the mice off antibiotics and switch them to a high-fat diet, this organism can recover. And so this is just one marker of recovery in the many species that are present. We used LEFSA, linear discriminant analysis effect size, to look at many changes in taxa over time. And so we found additional candidates that were decreased by antibiotic treatment or increased in the mice receiving antibiotics in early life. And just in the interest of time, I'm not showing you, but we also sequenced two other experiments. And we found consistencies across different animal models. And so across experiments, I consistently see that the low-dose penicillin is decreasing lactobacillus, allobaculum, and Reichenell ACA. And I'm not finding any consistent elevated species. We also looked at the effect of low-dose penicillin on Candidatus arthromitis populations. This is also known as segmented filamentous bacteria. And in control mice, it's very interesting. They are very low at the earliest time point, and they peak right around weaning to 6% of the total population, which are fairly substantial numbers, and they decrease after weaning. In all of the antibiotic groups, their levels are markedly reduced, and this is a consistent finding. So what we can conclude from this part is that we're seeing that the early life stat is changing the early life intestinal microbiota, and we're getting increased weight and adiposity, but it doesn't seem to go through a continued adult dysbiosis. And so we thought, could it be because it's altering juvenile physiology? We looked at the effect of STAT on food intake from 6 to 8 weeks of age, and we did this in metabolic cages, and we found that in female mice, there was significant increases in food intake and a slight trend in male mice that was not significant. Next, we wanted to look locally in the intestine. And so we examined several parameters, but the only thing that we found was that the mice on subtherapeutic antibiotic treatment had significantly higher ileal atrophy. There wasn't any inflammatory infiltrates in this model. And so this brings us to the concept of good fences make good neighbors, and that we need a good barrier in between us and our microbiota. So we looked at other areas of control, but before I get there, I'd like to just review quickly some aspects of interaction between microbes and immunity. So microbes can present antigens to antigen-presenting cells present those molecules on MHC class II molecules secrete cytokines that act on naive T cells to trigger their differentiation to helper T cells, which secrete additional cytokines acting on downstream cells, which can then secrete antimicrobial peptides to in turn modulate the intestinal microbiota. So we looked by microarray on ileal expression, ileal gene expression on 8-week mice. And these are the top 10 genes altered by STAT. And we found that of the top 10 genes, 9 out of 10 of them were reduced, and 4 of those were all involved in antigen presentation. Next, we looked by qPCR for markers of different Th17 cell populations, and the transcription factor, ROR gamma T, and the cytokine IL-17F were decreased in both female and male mice. Next, we looked at antimicrobial peptides, and again, in both female and male mice, we see decreases in beta defensin and in Reg3 gamma. And so this, we do see that early life antibiotic exposure is changing markers of intestinal immunity. So finally, we wanted to know, is it the antibiotics or is it the microbes? So we performed a microbiota transplant. I took cecal microbes from either 3 control or 3 STAT mice and transferred them to germ-free Swiss Webster mice by oral gavage. And I monitored their body composition for 5 weeks. And again, the germ-free recipients received no more antibiotic treatment. In just 5 weeks, the mice that were colonized with microbes from the STAT mice had significant increases in total mass and fat mass, and no changes in lean mass. And what this demonstrates is that the altered microbiota can cause changes in body composition. Next, we wanted to see, did we also transfer the immunological phenotype? And so the donors, we looked by qPCR, and they also had reductions in markers of Th17 cells and antimicrobial peptides. When we looked at the germ-free recipients, we saw similar trends, demonstrating we had transferred the immune phenotype. To go beyond these genes and to explore a little bit further, we then performed the nanostring immunology panel, which examines 547 transcripts related to immunology. And what we found is in male mice directly exposed to penicillin, there was 111 genes significantly decreased and only one up. In female mice directly exposed to penicillin, 74 genes were down and only 7 were up. And in the transfer, 16 were down and 5 were up. To summarize these changes, we then put the results through the Ingenuity pathway analysis. And here I'm showing the predicted biological functions and the Z-scores in all 3 groups. And what we see is a trend across everything that many processes are predicted to be decreased. And this is involved in differentiation of cells, activation, adhesion, T cells, phagocytes, and B cells, so across many different arms of immunity. We looked to see if the taxonomic changes were similar in our microbiota recipients. And here is a cladogram of many taxonomic changes that we observe in these mice. And again, what we're seeing is that lactobacillus, allobaculum, and Reichenell-ACA are all reduced in our microbiota recipients. And again, I'm not finding any consistent taxa that are increased in these mice. These 3 organisms also correlate with different markers of health. And so here I'm showing an ellipse plot where the correlation value is plotted by an ellipse. Red is a negative correlation, blue is a positive correlation. And the narrowness indicates the strength, and the asterisks indicate where it's significant. And what we were looking for is, do early populations of bacteria correlate consistently and early with the end fat mass or markers of intestinal defense? What we can see is that these organisms have consistent negative correlations with total mass and fat mass, and positive correlations with markers of Th17 cells and the antimicrobial peptide with Reg3 gamma, suggesting the more of these organisms the mice have, the leaner and the healthier they are. So to summarize the key aspects of the STAT model of microbe-induced obesity, we see that infancy is a critical window of host-microbe metabolic interaction. We also see that subtherapeutic antibiotic treatment accentuates the high-fat diet metabolic alterations, that STAT reduces markers of ileal defense. We've shown with the germ-free transfer that the antibiotic perturbed microbiota is playing a causal role, and we see consistent reduction in candidate protective taxa. So who are these organisms? Across experiments, we've seen Lactobacillus, Allobaculum, Reichenellaceae, and Arthromitis all reduced. Lactobacillus has been studied for over 100 years, and there are over 23,000 publications on PubMed. It was originally discovered from yogurt. It's a major lactic acid producer, and it's been shown it can protect against intestinal pathogens. Contrastingly, Allobaculum is a relatively new organism. It was only discovered in 2004 from a Labrador in Reading, UK. There's only 7 publications on it in PubMed. We do know that it's highly responsive to dietary changes. Reichenellaceae is a relatively new family, but some of its members have been studied since 1937. It's a well-known gut organism in humans and in many different species. Some of the species can directly interact with epithelial cells in the intestine in different models. And finally, Arthromitis, which is also known as segmented filamentous bacteria, was first observed in 1849, but is not cultured to date. So there are many different organisms here, which I think are really great possibilities for further studies. Much work has been done on Lactobacillus as a probiotic, but use of these sequencing technology is starting to really open up a new field where we can consider new organisms. With that, I'd like to acknowledge the many people who helped with these studies from the Blazer Lab and our collaborators, and I would just like to also acknowledge our funding support. Thank you for your attention.